We celebrate today the Sunday that is properly called Forgiveness Sunday, which is what the Great Fast is all about. And, of course, its conclusion in Holy Pascha, Holy Passover, the death and resurrection of our Lord. So we begin this great time of the fast in preparation for that great day that is to come, when we remember how God has forgiven us. We also then begin with forgiveness of one another. It is also called Cheese Fair Sunday, which is always a funny name, I think, in English. Often when people first come into the Eastern Church or start to attend services, what is this meat fair and cheese fair? I remember when I was a kid, I would hear this, thinking, this is strange. All I knew is there was a lot of food that Sunday in the church. So Cheese Fair Sunday, or Forgiveness Sunday, is part of the preparations for the fast in which we now find ourselves. Historically, traditionally, Christians give up, as they are able, all meat and all things which come from animals, dairy and eggs, from tomorrow, the beginning of the fast, until Holy Passover, Pascha. We began this preparation by hearing readings from Luke's Gospel, especially about repentance, about the prodigal son. We heard about the Pharisee and the publican. And we heard about that Pharisee who was so proud of his fasting and how it made him unlike, he saw, that sinful tax collector. And we heard a warning on that day in the midst of the services not to be like the Pharisee in our fasting, but rather like the tax collector who was repentant of his sin. There's plenty of room up here. Yes, scoot over a little bit there. Hi, nice to see you. Come on, plenty of room here. Rose, come on up. Amani. You hear that? I heard it earlier. I heard all the children singing along, right, in chorus. I love to hear that sound. It's a sign of a growing parish. It's a sign of the blessing of God. You'll notice the little children will start to cry and make noises and babble in key. So keep them in church so that they start to learn how to sing these beautiful hymns even from their infancy. You listen, you'll notice. When they start making noises, they'll be in key. Now, Cheese Fair Sunday. Last Sunday was Meat Fair Sunday. We gave up meat starting last Sunday. Why? Because to give up meat and cheese and eggs all starting tomorrow would be way too much. And so what the church does is encourage us to ease into the fast slowly. So starting last Sunday was Meat Fair Sunday. Remember, we had a big feast of meat. That is historically when Christians would bring all the meat that was left over in their storage places and in their refrigerators, bring it to the church and consume it all, lest it be a temptation for the next week. So it's all gone. Now, no temptation left. And then also, this week, of course, is the week of when we would be eating all of our dairy products and eggs up, and then bring anything left over to the church today to be consumed. We have a wonderful potluck for us, potluck meal preserved for us by the Al-Hajj Fund. Thank you. And from here on out now, dairy and eggs are out. Abuna, what am I going to eat? A rock? There's a lot of stuff to eat. There's some in our congregation that are vegetarians all year around. Okay, so it can be done. Talk to your cardiologist. He would probably speak highly of the idea. So we give up meat and cheese and yogurt, lebne, and eggs, because they taste good. They taste good, and they are good. Good for your health, just not too much. So why do we give these things up? We've talked about this before, but I think it is very important to remind ourselves as we enter into the fast, why are we fasting? Why do we give up meat or eggs or dairy or whatever it is you're going to be giving up this Lent? We give up those things which are the joyful things in our life, the enjoyments, the little pleasures, as an opportunity, a daily opportunity, sometimes multiple times in the day, to strengthen our willpower, right? Tomorrow, when you are at the lunch line with your friends from work, and your friend in front of you orders that double bacon cheeseburger, and then the employee says, next, and you have to come up and you look, I think I'll just take a salad. Would you like a Caesar salad, sir? Something with a little more sustenance to it? No, just a house salad with a little vinegar on it, maybe. What have you just done? You've exercised your willpower in something that is not too hard to do. Okay, it's not too hard to do that. Little by little. Little by little. And any of you who have exercised know, when you first start an exercise regime, I'm going to start doing push-ups again. I'm going to start doing pull-ups again. I'm going to start running again. We all go through these cycles. That the first day or two, it is very difficult. Okay? When I was in shape in high school, lots and lots of push-ups. Every now and then I say, I better start exercising again. So I get down the ground and... what's happened to me? Okay, that's it. Okay, so I get one push-up out, maybe, if I'm lucky. And then the next day, though, I can do it again. One push-up, that's easy. I get down there. Hey, that wasn't too bad. Maybe two. Maybe three. Oh, that's enough for today. And then we give up, right? And the next day, hey, you can get down, you can do five push-ups or maybe, or pull-ups, or say walking. You may decide to go jogging. There's plenty of room up here. You guys scoot aside there. Thank you, Colin. So the reason why we fast then is it is a regular opportunity to give up the joyful things in life, a ham sandwich or a whatever, a nice egg or some Libni. We give up this on a daily basis. We open that refrigerator and we make a choice between two things. The thing which we have given up, and the thing which, well, the salad, okay, I'll have an apple for lunch. And what we're doing is we're exercising our willpower. That little strain you feel where you look and you're grabbing for the Libni. No. Just an apple. Okay, that little struggle is that same struggle of doing that push-up or that pull-up. And the next day when you have that opportunity again, you are easier. It is easier then to make that choice. And the more you fast, the easier fasting becomes. And what this does is strengthen you. So that when you're out in the workplace, or you are out on the street, or you are on your computer, on the internet, a place where there is constant temptation today, on purpose, you have the strength to see something that is not good for you and make the choice and say, no, that's not for me. Close that window. Right? Or you're driving down the street and you see something that you realize this is not for you. You have the strength to avert your eyes. When you are at work or someplace and you're tempted by something, you have the strength to resist that temptation because regularly you have been exercising that willpower. Okay? That's why we fast. Fasting doesn't change God. If you think fasting, the more miserable you are, the happier God gets, then you've got a pagan God on your hands that you're worshiping. Baal, Molech, I don't know which one you're worshiping at that point, but it's not the God of our faith. Our God is a loving Father. First and foremost, we know two things about God. If you go throughout the Holy Scriptures, you find two things consistently. He is Father and He is love. Now I want you to think about the most loving father you can imagine that you've ever met. Maybe your own father. Maybe it was your grandfather. Maybe it was the father of the neighbor kid. Whatever it was, I want you to think of that most perfect father. Think of the father that you, as fathers, would hope to be. And you are barely scratching the surface of who God is. Think of how much love you have for your child. For the good of your child. Even when your kid messes up or makes a mistake. What do you do when your kid falls off his bike? What do? You walk up, you stupid kid. How'd you fall off your bike? No. You run out to them. You pick them up. Come on, it's okay. Get back on that bike. You can do it again. And you show them how to ride. When the kid first learned how to walk, how many times they fall over? Okay, they fall over every other step. What does the parent do? Runs up to the child, pats, picks them back up and says, it's okay, you're all right. Now try it again. That's what God does with us. Do you fall over? Do you fall off your bike? I don't know about you, but I do it about 300 times a day. Okay, sometimes before breakfast. Okay? So fasting helps us resist these temptations that often draw us away from Him. Why does God want us to follow His will? Because He loves us. He has our best interest in mind. Is this not what you or parents do with your children? Your children desire ice cream for dinner. You say, no, not good for you. Not right now. Maybe ice cream after dinner. Candy bar for lunch. No. Maybe candy bar on Sunday after lunch. You, as a parent, can see something those children cannot see. And that's why God gave us parents, of course. That's why the parents are in charge, not the children. And the children slowly grow up into the image and likeness of their parent, just like we are slowly growing up into the image and likeness of our Heavenly Parent, our Father, who has our best interest in mind. And so when you see the will of God in the Holy Scriptures for us, that we should do this and we should not do that, and then when you're tempted to do something that you know is contrary to God's will, even though you might not understand exactly why, think of that child wanting that ice cream at dinner. Okay? And know that your Heavenly Father knows better for you. Right? He wants you to grow up healthy in the faith. Healthy in relationship with Him. That is why we fast. And this is why we increase our fasting. We fast throughout the year, of course. But we increase our fasting at this time to, in a certain sense, do some extra polishing. Historically, you may not like to hear this, Christians didn't fast during the Great Fast. What? I thought we were super traditional here, Father. You always tell us we're doing the early church stuff. We are. We're doing like 3rd century, not 2nd century. Okay, so in the early church, you know who fasted at this period? The catechumens who were preparing for baptism on Holy Passover, Holy Pascha. But you know who else fasted? Those who had fallen into grave sin. They were called the penitents. They were not allowed to receive communion. And so they were like as if they'd been returned to catechumens. And so the catechumens and the penitents were then preparing for their restoration on Holy Pascha. The baptism of the catechumens and the absolution through Holy Confession on Holy Pascha for the penitents. Well, the Christians all began to realize, hey, aren't we always catechumens? Aren't we always students of God? Aren't we always disciples learning and continually learning? Yeah. And aren't we all penitents? Don't we all fall into sin? And so the Christians, all Christians, began to fast along with the catechumens and penitents to go through the same services and fasting and extra prayer to prepare themselves for the restoration and proper appreciation of what had happened for them in their baptism into the death and resurrection of Christ. And so what the Holy Fast, the Great Fast is for us in the end, is an opportunity to restore in our lives what God has really intended for us, but we often mess up. It's an opportunity as a community to say, hey, I need to learn more about the faith. I'm still a catechumen. It's an opportunity for us to say, hey, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of repentance. And so I will join with the church and those who are preparing to prepare myself to appreciate what God has done for me on Holy Pascha. This is also why we pray. We increase our prayer life, because without prayer, there is no relationship with God. Prayer is just an old English word for request. But it summarizes the idea of having a conversation with God. Normally, it's simply prayer. Normally, it's requests. God, I need this. I need that. But that's not how prayer is supposed to be. St. John Climacus, a great spiritual father of the faith, said, when you pray, do three things. First, you begin. So when you're tempted to say, God, I need this. Wait. Start out. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything you've done in my life. And you spend some time thinking about what you have. Your health, your family, your job, your home, food. Everything we have. It's unimaginable the wealth we live in here in America, especially here in this region. And so we thank God for everything we have, which should take you probably about 5-6 hours. Then, after you're done with that, then you say, oh God, I realize what you've done for me and who you are and who I am and what I haven't done. I am made in your image and likeness, and I have not responded to your goodness and gift to me in the way I should. I have been like a prodigal son. I've gone off and wasted my life like that prodigal son that went off into the far country. And so we return to the Father like the prodigal son. I am not worthy to be called your son. And what does the Father do? He puts on the robe of Christ. St. Paul says, all of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ like a garment. And so he returns us into the home, and we return to the heavenly feast. We increase our prayer, we increase our fasting, and we increase our almsgiving. Because in the end, unless we learn to give what God has given us, there's no way we can grow into His image and likeness. God gives everything we have. And if we are to grow into His image and likeness, we need to learn how to give like He gives. And He always gives us what we need, plus a great abundance beyond. Oh, no, Bona, you don't know how tight it is. I know how it is. We live month to month. Sometimes we look at the thing, is it going to work this one? I don't know. I know how that is. But if you look around, you realize how much you have. Look in your closet. Shoes and jackets you haven't worn in years. Look in your garage. As with me, half our garage, we can't even park a car and it's full of stuff. Okay? We might have storage units, and then you have bigger storage units. Think of all the excess of wealth we've stored up that God has given to us that we don't need. That's all the stuff that is for those around us. And there are those out on the street, out there today, who need our help. And so share that, this great fast. Increase your fasting, your prayer, and your almsgiving so that we may glorify Jesus Christ with His eternal Father and His all-holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and to ages of ages. Amen.